I'm Steve Scher. This is Weekday on KUOW Seattle. In 2009, two American citizens of Mexican descent were murdered in their home along the Mexican border. A man and his daughter. The wife made a 911 call the night her daughter and husband were shot and killed. Here's what that 911 call sounded like. It's very disturbing. So parents, you have a moment to turn the radio down if you don't want your kids to hear how this 911 call sounded that night.
911, where is your emergency?
Ma'am, somebody just came in and shot my daughter and my husband.
They shot them?
Please,
what's your
Arizona.
And they shot your husband and your daughter? Are they out conscious?
Please, ma'am, please. She's bleeding out of her mouth. Please.
How old is your daughter?
She's 10.
10? And where were they shot?
In the head. Should I pick her up so she's not bleeding?
No, I want you to leave her where she is, okay? What I'm going to do, are they still there, the people who are there that shot them?
They're coming back in.
Shauna Ford and two accomplices were convicted of those killings. Ford was the head of a branch of the Minutemen, the anti-immigration group working along the Arizona border. The killings were the logical outcome of the movement's nativist agenda and paranoid worldview, according to writer David Nywort. The award-winning journalist has written, "And Hell Followed With Her, Crossing the Dark Side of the American Border." Joins us in our studios. Good to see you again.
Good to see you, Steve. Thanks for having me.
A very disturbing notion, especially the end of that call. They're coming back in.
Yeah. Of course, that tape goes on for another 20 minutes, and what you hear is about 2 minutes of sustained gunfire. And she basically got a gun that her husband had left on the counter and successfully drove them out of the house. They came back in to try to kill her. And then she got on the phone and was spent another 16 minutes talking to the dispatcher and waiting for help to arrive.
You've worked on questions of American racism, American right-wing groups. Here we have another one. What brought you to want to tell the story of Gina Gonzalez and the Minutemen, Shauna Ford and the Minutemen?
Well, part of this is that, of course, this story originated up here in our neck of the woods, because Shauna Ford, the leader of the group of people who invaded that house, was from Everett, and the gunman in that case was from Wenatchee, actually grew up in Spokane area. And so these people got involved in the Minuteman movement here in Washington State. I covered those events back in 2006 when they were organizing border watches up in the Blaine area. And Shauna was part of those operations, and that's how she got all involved with them. She became so involved that she decided to form her own Minuteman Border Watch organization. She got involved in there was a falling out between the two co-founders of the Minuteman movement, Chris Simcox and Jim Gilchrist. And she basically took advantage of that rift by siding with Gilchrist, and it made her a powerful figure in the movement. And Gilchrist essentially outsourced all of his border watch operations to Shauna. Well, then Shauna concocted this scheme of financing their operations by ripping off the drug smugglers that they saw down there in Arizona. And this led to her plan to do a home invasion, which led to these murders. Of course, she was set up by another drug smuggler who simply wanted to eradicate some of his competition.
Well, who were the folks who got killed? Who was Gina Gonzalez, and who were her husband and daughter?
Raul Jr. Flores was the father. He was a 32-year-old man. He was from his father had been a smuggler. His father had been a smuggler. This is Aravaca's little town, about 10 miles north of the border, as the crow flies, about 14 miles as you drive. And it's been a smuggling town since 1870. It's out in the middle of nowhere. And people who live there, you know, there are a fair number of people who make legitimate living there. There's ranching and mining out there. And, you know, there's a grocery store and things like that, and those people all make a legitimate living. But they live alongside people who make their living by smuggling and have for generations and generations. And Junior Flores was basically just a businessman in town. He was pretty well liked.
Was he a drug smuggler too?
Yeah, he was a marijuana smuggler.
He was a marijuana smuggler.
Yeah.
And
but he did not have the $3 million in his house that Shauna Ford thought he had. He just had his wife and daughter. You know, he was smarter than that. He didn't keep any of the material around his home.
Remind me, was this their first killings? This wasn't their first ripping off of smugglers, but was this their first murders?
No, Shauna had attempted to murder her husband up here in Everett in December before. She had her boyfriend go to his house and shoot him 5 times. She stood to gain $500,000 if he had died intestate because he was in the process of divorcing her at the time. And so this would have been the biggest haul she ever made. And her plan was to use this money to go buy a ranch on the border in Arizona and use it as a compound for training her super militia.
Right. She just sounds like a criminal. What makes her, in your view, an integral part of the evolution and the decay of this nativist right-wing identity that some Americans are searching for?
Well, there's no doubt that Shauna was, really a crass opportunist, and she was really using the movement as a means of kind of creating a new image for herself. She had been a career criminal. She had committed her first felony at age 11 and had been a teen prostitute in Seattle, had a long career shoplifting and committing credit card fraud and all kinds of crimes, and really had a rap sheet as long as your arm. And but when she married John Ford, she decided to straighten her life out. And so she was able to join the Minutemen. This tells you how good their vetting process was, that they didn't discover she had this long criminal record because she just, all they did was check her name under Shauna Ford, because once she had married John, who was a very much a legitimate guy, very nice guy, she was able to sort of clean up her act.
Wow.
And so, but she really had this aspiration to, had this heroic idea of herself and thought she was saving America from illegal immigrants.
David Nywaard is an award-winning journalist. He's currently senior editor of the blog Crooks and Liars. He's been in the American Prospect, Washington Post. His previous books include The Eliminationist, How Hate Talk Radicalized the American Right. His latest book is And Hell Followed With Her, Crossing the Dark Side of the American Border. So how did this, what impact did this murder and the subsequent trial have on the Minutemen?
It basically destroyed the movement. There are border watch operations out there still, but they all studiously avoid the name Minutemen because, as Al Garza, who was the former Minutemen spokesman for Chris Simcox, put it, he says, you say Minutemen anymore, people think you're a murderer. And it's true. It really pretty much ruined the brand name for them. A lot of the former border watchers have, like I said, tried to form these other organizations. They haven't really gone anywhere. There isn't much demand for them anymore because there aren't the hordes coming over the borders that there were in 2001 or 2005. And finally, really what's happened to most of them is that they've kind of melted into the Tea Party. Glenn Spencer, one of the significant figures in this Border Watch movement, is really very active in the Arizona Tea Party now. And he's drawing in people like Sheriff Joe Arpaio and Russell Pierce as part of the scene down there.
So in covering and tracking the American right wing, the American far right wing, is the Minutemen's nativist agenda, as you call it, the paranoid worldview, also absorbed into this Tea Party anyways in Arizona?
Oh, yeah, very much. I mean, really, as far as the Tea Party is concerned, its immigration agenda is identical to the Minutemen's anymore. And it's not just in Arizona. It's pretty much nationally.
So do you think even though we have this murder, even though we had this criminality, it didn't really people involved in the movement saw it as an outlier?
Well, yeah. I mean, they saw it as just an aberration, when in fact it was really pretty much part of, I mean, the attitudes that led and belief, sort of the belief system that fed these murders It was very much common throughout the movement, and it's still very much with us today. Essentially, it's this attitude that these people have disposable lives, that, you know, they're not real human beings anymore. And so we can dispose of them because, you know, Shauna had this idea that life down on the border was cheap, partly because there had been so many drug murders down in Mexico. But her assumption was that this would just be a blip and it would be, you know, that these murders would be blamed on the cartels. Unfortunately, Gina Gonzalez shot back, and she wounded Jason Bush, and he ran screaming out to their car and leaving a nice little DNA trail for investigators to find. So their plan to have it all be blamed on the cartels didn't work out so well.
How do you feel about, I mean, in writing this book, you were trying to pin down hell following her, but also where's hell going next? How do you feel about what is happening in the American right-wing movement, far right-wing movement today?
Well,
in terms of safety, in terms of danger, in terms of what it means for the mainstream of America.
Sure. Well, I think that actually since President Obama's reelection, it's gotten much worse. We're actually seeing a significant upsurge and have since his election seen a significant uptick in domestic terrorism in the state. We actually have more than twice as many events involving right-wing domestic terrorists in the country than we have. Oh, everything ranging from, you know, James von Brunn's attack on the Holocaust Museum to the cops who were murdered in West Memphis, Tennessee, by the Sovereign Citizens. I've got a running tab of about 77.
Do you think people look at Shauna Ford? Other people look at Shauna Ford as a hero?
Well, not
very many.
Or do
they just want to forget about her?
No, the people in the Minutemen movement. There are a few diehards who claim that she's, you know, the victim of a conspiracy to discredit the Minutemen, and you know, including her friend Lane Lawless, who screens all of her interviews. So that was why I was never able to interview Shauna. And there are some diehards, but mostly they've moved away. I mean, Jim Gilchrist has pretended assiduously that he had no very limited association with Shauna Ford, and in fact, they were very tight.
Where is Shauna Ford now?
She's on death row in Arizona, as is Jason Bush. The third character in this was a man named Albert Gaxiola. He was the local smuggler who set them up, and he accompanied them on the raid. And so he's basically serving life in prison with no chance of parole.
And where's Gina Gonzalez and her daughter, who wasn't home at the time and so survived?
They're living not in Aravaca anymore, but she's living with her parents in a town south of Tucson. So, and she's basically cleaning houses now.
How does she view these people who came down and changed her life?
Well, you know, Gina hasn't done any interviews. I've listened to her testify three times, and I have chatted with her in person privately a couple times, but she's never granted any interviews. She has said, she just, when she testified in trial, Shauna's trial, she just said, I don't understand how someone could have that much hate in their heart that they would kill my little girl, you know. So,
David Nywort has written a book about this event and its implications for America and hell followed with her crossing the dark side of the American border. He's at Elliott Bay tonight, and then Friday he's at the Secret Garden Workshop, and then next Thursday at Third Place Books. You are going to be here for a while talking about these issues.
Yep, I will be. And, you know, of course, immigration is really kind of the underlying issue here. And I think hopefully we can use the book to help kind of change the tone of how we talk about immigration. I think one of the overriding lessons that I think we want to convey is that when you start going down this path of demonizing people and turning them into subhuman objects, and hating, you know, sort of scapegoating these people, scapegoating immigrants for the supposed criminality, that this distorts the conversation in such a way that we can't really have a rational discussion about immigration when really the problem is a whole box full of messed up laws rather than, the, you know, we're blaming the victims for the problems that are created by our laws. And we really need to have a discussion about that.
We'll see if that starts it. We're having some of that discussion, but we'll see.
Yeah.
All right, sir. Thank you.
You betcha.
This is Weekday.